and welcome to episode 239 of the Awesome Comics Podcast, a place where the small press makes one hell of a big noise. I'm Vince Hunt, creator of Indigo Park and suffering with a cold. And joining me are the creator of Vanguard, Dan Butcher.
Hello.
And the Brit abroad that is Tony Esmond.
Bonjour.
Fluent, aren't you, Tony?
It was almost funny. So we had the landlady, Catherine, she was the loveliest landlady, like the nicest lady. And I would always get to breakfast a little bit early and she'd give me like French lessons sort of thing. So
we just need to explain first, Tony's been in France.
Yeah. It wasn't French polishing or anything. But I said to her, look, the reason I never learned French is because as a kid, you're kind of embarrassed about saying it in public, aren't you? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You don't look like a brat. But now I don't actually care how stupid I look, as evidenced by this show. So I don't care that I fuck up. So I just say stupid things, and if it works, it works. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That just sweet tête de merde.
Oh.
I am a head of shit. She told me.
Oh. I always thought you were the grande jambon. Anyway.
does that come into conversation often?
Yes.
I'm ahead of shit.
Stupid. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you all about it in a minute. We're going to swap stories, aren't we?
Yes. Well, yeah, we are indeed. Welcome to the show, folks. It's going to be a shorter, sharper show with a bit of audio. We've got a few audio clips today because everyone at the podcast has been out and about. And we've got some tales to tell and some... And a few lists of people we'd like to thank. I mean, there's so many people, you know, we'll probably miss names. We'll miss names off, but you know, you understand why. But before we get to that, I think there's a group of people we never forget about, and that's because they sponsor the show. We'd like to thank Comic House again for sponsoring us.
Yeah. This is sounding like an award ceremony. I wonder where we're going with this every second.
I know. That's weird. None of it was scripted as well. But yes, Comic House are the indie comic marketplace that we love. They're not just our sponsors, but they put loads of great indie comics out into the ether for people to read. Yes, on the database on the website, there's a huge selection of titles. For instance, like you can buy copies of the issues. If you like proper printed books, you can go on comichouse.com and there's loads of people just selling stuff. If you've got your own book, you can list your book on there for free, start selling straight away. I think it's only like they only take a penny commission, something like that.
But that's craziness.
I know. It's madness, especially in this world. But also mad is how fantastic the selection is on their app. Yes, they have like an app for reading comics. I mean, we've always said it's like Netflix for comics. There's a £3 a month subscription. You get access to an enormous library of digital indie comics. I mean, for instance, what sort of stuff is on there at the moment?
We've got Retake the Complete Collection by myself and David Brett Andrews. Pre-Mortis by Art 92 Studios or Comics. Psy Superhuman Crime Investigators Volume 1. The Adventures of Captain Cosmic issue 3 by Andy Bloor. Is that right? No.
No, it's Andy Clift.
Andy Clift,
one of the Andes. Hooper, Detective of the Strange, and Raid on the Four.
Is it Hopper?
Hopper.
There's a rabbit, isn't he?
I think it's Hopper, yeah. So I fucked two of the five of them up.
I mean, it's been a busy weekend for us. So
we're all a bit trashed.
Yeah, and you understand why in a bit. But yeah, there's all that on more and more on more. See? I've got it as well. Yes, we've all got the virus. There's loads of stuff on comichouse.com. Find out more about it today. In fact, Tony's going to mention a little book that he saw on Comic House a bit later.
Tiny recommendation later.
Yeah. So check them out. Right, this week, like I say, we've got a couple of bits of audio because if you listen to last week's show, it was last week, wasn't it? Yeah. We talked about Angoulême with Arena from Europe Comics, and Tony was jet-setting off to that. And at the same time, this past weekend, me and Dan were tabling at True Believers 2020.
Indeed,
so, we're just going to talk a little bit about that. I mean, I think, Tony, do you want to go first? Because last week's show was such a barnstormer. Even though, and good shout out to the Europe Comics people, when I was making all the show notes and stuff, I spelt it wrong.
Oh, I saw that. I wondered what that. I was traveling when I saw that.
I think I did a Google search and I just looked at the top thing and I don't know, I was foolish. So, but I changed it and I was just thinking...
Like, I'm glad that the people who see that stuff don't go, you spelled it right. It was just like a gentle, oh, I think, have you spelled that right, Vince? It was like one of them,
yeah.
Wasn't it? Yeah, it was all right. Yeah. These things happen, babes.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I can't change it on the MP3, because otherwise if I upload it, then it resets all the stats and stuff. And I'm too lazy.
Yeah. We're too rock and roll for that.
Yeah. But, you know, we had a lot of good feedback about last week's show, and probably people who want to know what the actual show is like itself. So, Tony, do you want to take it away for a little bit before we get into...
Okay, mate. So, I put a video up. Did you see the video I put up of the hall?
Yeah, you sent it to us.
Fuck me, yeah.
It wasn't what I expected to see, if I'm honest.
Right.
I was like, wow.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive, man. It really is. Yeah. So, if you're going to go, it's a difficult one to go to. And probably the reason I've never been is I've always heard there's a lack of hotels. And there is literally one hotel in this town. It's not a small town. You know, not at all. I put it probably bigger than Bath. You know, it's quite a big place.
Yeah.
But it's quite, there's one hotel. So you kind of have to know where to stay. And a lot of the creators there. So I traveled out with Sam Arthur's from No Brown. We did have a chuckle, I've got to tell you. So we did the Euro Tunnel. You then have to sort of tube it about 10 stops across Paris. And then you get on the sort of local railway system. And you take the train to Bordeaux, which is about, and on the way to Bordeaux, you get off at Angoulême. It's about 2 hours, maybe a little bit more on that train. Mm. So it's quite a hike. The town is, as Arena said, it's basically like a castle on a hill. You know, it's a bit like that, sort of a fort on a hill. And you have to sort of, there's one point of it where you get to these steps, and I was referring to them all week as the murder steps, because it's like seemingly they just go on and on and on, like, you know,
yeah,
a matter of life and death with David Niven. They're like those steps. And we're walking up them, and you can, you know, they take the puff out of you. And then I was late going in because I had to make a phone call, so I was sort of running after Sam to try and get to something. And as I was going up, I thought, I'll take it nice and steady. We had a late night out in the beer, and walking up the steps at the same time was a load of school kids. And I thought, oh, Christ, I can't get bullied by these school kids for, like, you know, stopping on the stairs or something. So I had to leg it up these stairs, which almost killed me. So be prepared to walk up a hill, and be prepared to walk with shoes that have got some kind of grip on them, like your Spider-Man, because a lot of the hills are just like that, you know. But it rained the whole time, pretty much the whole time, so we're waterproof. But it's a lovely town, like loads of restaurants. What they do is, it's loads of different huge tents, like, you know, you can't really call them a tent, they're like buildings, you know. And they're dotted all over the city, all over the town. And you also have exhibition spaces that are dotted all over the town. And then you've got like the big town hall in the middle, which is where we went and got our passes from. But what they also have is they have tannoy systems that announce signings and events and exhibitions as you walk through the town.
Hmm.
So it's kind of like the whole town is actually the venue, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
It's pretty impressive. And dotted amongst that, sort of small press people with tables out in the street selling small press comics or doing caricatures or stuff like that. Pretty good. Pretty impressive. I'd say I was totally blown away. And it's all comics. It's nothing else. There's no... there might be a couple of figures of... You know, I saw a couple of tables of Hergé figures and stuff like that. But... Mm. It's all Bande Dessinée and comics. So there's one main tent that's the publisher's tent, which is the one, the video that I stuck on the Facebook page and I sent you guys, which is Dargaard and Soleil and Casterman and all that sort of thing. And then there's a smaller press tent, which is sectioned into two bits. And it's got, I suppose, the equivalent at the start of it, of companies like Fantagraphics, Drawn and Quarterly, the equivalent of those sort of companies. And as you go further and further into the tent, you get the smaller press, Breakdown Press from the UK were there, a couple of others. What's the Centrala, the Polish comic company? They were there.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So there's a bit of that going on. And it's all inside. And there's a little bit of a bag search going on, but they're quite sensible. So if they recognise you, you don't get a bag search.
Okay.
It's a bit like that. Because I walked in that, I sort of had a publisher badge on there. Like, oh, I only got bag search once because it was the same security guard. So they've got a sensible sort of French... practical sort of approach to it, so it didn't make you pause or anything. But because it's difficult to stay there, nearly all the punters travel in and out, so you couldn't, as a convention, you'd find it difficult to go there, stay there and just be a punter. The Mercure Hotel is filled up virtually straight away by all the big publishers, and there's a lot of film companies and a couple of sort of big name journalists and TV companies there. We had two people there. We had John McNaught, whose book has just launched, with Dargaard, and we had AJ Dungo, whose book is on the bestsellers list, and it was also on the official selection with Casterman, who's another. They're both big players, you know, huge players in French comics.
Yeah.
And we're trying to meet up with AJ. We ended up meeting him on the Friday night, but he basically had a time table that said like 11:15 TV interview, 11:20 radio interview. It was like that.
Yeah. It was like that.
And they all give them handlers, so they. Angelina, who was his one, would get him on the right train and get him off the train, get him in a cab, get him to the hotel, and like take him to the first interview, and then get him to a signing in a shop. And it was like that. It was like it's like being treated as if you got a TV series coming out over there. It really is.
Oh wow.
Yeah. It's something else. And they have signings booths. So all of the main publishers have like a built. It's like somebody's built a house within the hall.
Yeah.
You could see on that. And along that, they have next to it, they're like post office counters, and each one is a different artist. So they're sort of slightly higher up. So they're not ones I'm beginning to think just sitting at a table and drawing is a pain, because you have to kind of look up to see what the punter's saying and stuff. But these, you're on with the punter standing in front of you, you're kind of eye level with them.
Gotcha.
It's quite an interesting way of doing
it.
Okay. Yeah. And they have a system in France where you draw in the book for free. So you get a sketch for free with your book. And a lot of the guys were doing watercolors, and AJ was doing these sort of elaborate wave things. Mm. And I think I'm allowed to say, but on the Friday, he signed and drew in, I think, about 180 books.
Bloody hell.
Yeah. And he's a trooper, AJ, and John McNaught's the same. They're proper troopers. And they were like, look, we met up for a drink on Friday night, and they were just like, so tired. I mean, it shows what an impact this event has. There was adverts for it at the Eurotunnel, and that is 2.5 hours by train from there.
Yeah.
And on the first day, I'm standing there with a couple of German editors chatting to them, and I said, oh, what's that all about? And there was like a big demonstration going on, like a huge, looks like a sort of anarchist-y, sort of the Great Unwashed, we call them over here, you know, sort of protesting type thing.
Yeah.
And it was a protest against President Macron, who turned up to see the Wallywood exhibition. Yeah. And have a look around the festival. I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're like, what? I can't imagine Trump or Boris turning up at a MCM, can you?
No.
Mind you, probably would in maybe 10 years' time just to sell autographs for £15 or something, wouldn't they? So it was, mate, it's so impressive. So the tents were the manga tent, publisher's tent, rights tent, smaller publisher's tent, back issue tent, so that had some of the prints and like loads of sort of volumes and albums you could buy. They had at least 5 major exhibitions. They had a huge tent just for younger readers. There was a Spirou thing going on in there and an art exhibition. They've actually got their own museum, so that's where the Bande Dessinée Museum is in Angoulême. And like every second shop had something in the window or something going on. I mean, I walked past near the hotel, there was like a glasses shop, you know, like a Specsavers type place.
Yeah.
And every set of glasses in the window is resting on an Asterix comic, or nice. You know, like everyone goes for it. Goes for it. Loads of new street art, loads of window art. Kirkman was there, sort of wandering around. Said hello to him. Food's great. You know, well, we went out two meals. Went out with Gallimard, who were a publisher. They're doing our Gamian Tales and a couple of other things. And they'd rented a whole room at the back of a restaurant, so we sat in there with them, me and Sam, and that was just a giggle from start to finish.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, the reputation we think of the French being a bit up their own, you know, a bit snotty in relation to us. I did not find it at all. Maybe it's different, you know, in Paris or somewhere, but here it was that everyone was super nice. I was trying my French out left, right and centre, you know, my schoolboy five words. Yeah. And everyone was just like, no, just reply in English. They didn't mind.
I think if you long as you try.
Yeah, I think you so. Know what I mean? That might be it, yeah. And on the Friday night, we went to the Casterman dinner. Now, Casterman are like a huge deal. I mean, they had, I think, 4 books in selection. Yeah. Some just amazing stuff, one of which being in Waves, which is like a bestseller, man. He's doing so well. So chuffed for that geezer. AJ's such a good guy.
Yeah.
And they took us to, he said, oh, Sam said, I'm going to the Casterman dinner. I said, oh, I'll go and find something to eat. You know, find, you know, maybe Arena or someone, have a chat with her. And he said, no, you're coming. And it was like a banquet. And we're surrounded by publishers. And the next, sitting behind me was the bloke who writes Black Sad. And, you know, it's all this sort of thing going on.
Wow.
Yeah.
Blimey.
I'm thinking, people are going, who are you?
It's like that when you went to the other, was it last year in Miami or? And like, yeah. You got in with all the crowd.
It was a little bit like that, yeah.
Who are you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, don't worry. Yeah. So, I bought a shitload. I've got some presents actually for you. Arena gave us some presents kindly.
Oh, thank you, Arena. That's far too nice.
Arena's a legend.
Yeah. I bought her a book in return, just, you know. But she was super great. Her and Azeli from Arena, from Europe Comics were great. And there's a rights tent, which is for the publishers. And in the back of it is a place, a sort of coffee bar restaurant place, and beyond that is a talks area. And so when it was getting, you know, when you were like exhausted, you go and sit in there, and there's always people in there to chat to. The guy from Knockabout was in there, Chris Daros was in there, loads of people, so you just went in and had a chat, you know.
Yeah,
a lot from Rebellion, more of them in his minute. So just a couple of shout outs. I've already mentioned Sam, AJ Dungo, John McNaught, Arena, Nazelli, who works with Arena, Chloe, Amy and Steve, who we'll hear from in a minute, from Thought Bubble there. And I was in the Lewis Trondheim. I spoke to Enrico Marini. I said hello to you. Remember who I was? That was quite cool. Humdrum Books from Israel. Good people. Breakdown Press. Centrala Books were there. So we all decided to go. The English decided to, or the British decided to go in the bar and have a drink. We were joined by Arena. And because of Brexit, obviously, we were sort of countdown to midnight. And Sam bought a load of wine and we were all drinking it. And some bloke sort of turned around. And he turned out to be a listener. And it was... Keith Richardson, who's in charge of the Treasury of British Comics over at Rebellion. So he sort of joined us.
Hello,
so
Keith. Was...
yeah, Keith. Yeah, who turned out to be a listener. How cool is that? Yeah.
That's brilliant.
Yeah, so we had a... And then they ended up going off to a party at, like, I don't even know what time it was, about 1:30. You know, and then we walked down the slippery hill on our bums, drunken, trying to go back to our bed breakfast to meet Catherine. It was
brilliant.
Good. It was a hell of an event, man, yeah. Yeah, just they do it. So they, and if I could have filled 10 suitcases.
Yeah,
good comics.
Really could have done. Yeah, I was sort of holding back buying stuff because we had to drag the suitcases across Paris, and then our train got cancelled on the way. The Eurostar got cancelled, and but we got upgraded. Sam got upgraded, and we're in this like business class carriage on the Eurostar, and we couldn't find our seat. And then he pulled back this sliding door, and we got given some sort of cubicle in the business, even in the business suite thing.
Wow.
I said, did I see the picture?
Yeah.
It's like mad.
That is crazy.
Yeah. It was. But, yeah, it was. It was a cubicle indeed.
It was weird, yeah. And then we got back to, I think we got back to St. Pancras at about 10:30 or something like that, I suppose. And I sort of made the long journey home on the Drunken Express. And just... wiped out, man. Totally wiped out. Sleep is for the weak on Golem, I tell you now.
Fucking hell.
It's like a competition. If you're in business and you're in there, you do not go back to your room before at least half the room has drifted away. Yeah.
Nice.
It's
savage.
Yeah, really. Good. Right, okay, that's me. So I'm desperate to hear about Troops because I felt a real bit of FOMO going on.
Don't use that again. Shout out to Iz McAuliffe because she was using it as well, and I told her that. Yeah, I don't want to hear
nixing that term.
I am nixing that term.
Yeah, we had a fantastic time. It was really good.
Great, guys. Yeah,
it was a really good day, wasn't it, Dan? I think
on the Friday we ended up in by the bar, and everyone got their iPad Pros out, and we was all swapping tips on how to use the Procreate program. Gareth Slighthelm with his, which is just an absolute mind blower. His work on that.
Yeah. It was when we were doing that, it was you, me, Gareth, Adam Faulp, and Andy Hanks were just sort of all huddled around like.
Oh, yes, when you send me photographs, weren't it? You were sending me photographs of you flipping me the bird. I saw those.
I don't know what you mean. yeah. So Friday night was great. You know, got to chill out. I mean, first off, big shout out to Stu Mulrain, Andy Hanks, and all of the people who put on True Believers. Because as you can tell from Twitter today, you know, people who either exhibited or visited had a fantastic day. And it is just a really good atmosphere. Mm. Another show that is all about comics and making comics.
Yeah.
And they've got fun stuff as well, like workshops and raffles. There was a raffle where they were announcing it for what seemed like an hour.
I don't think there was many people who bought tickets that didn't win something.
Did you drop off those No Bread books?
I did indeed.
Oh, nice one, thanks.
I don't know who won them.
Oh, okay. I was going to ask you. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
So, yeah, there was lots of people there, lots of creators that we know, some new ones. You might hear a couple of new ones in the audio that's upcoming. But, yeah, it was just, what more can you say? We lucked out by, because someone cancelled, we got a slightly larger table, which meant...
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
You've got a good spread.
Yeah. Which was nice.
Yeah. I mean, is it, you stand.
Is it, yep. Oh.
Well, I mentioned to you, I launched Vanguard Book 3 at the show.
It went
down really well.
You saved me a copy, didn't you?
Yeah, I've got
you.
Because
I've got two comics for you. Maybe we should meet up in the week. I've got copies of Cobra 2, the comic, to give you.
You can do a straight swap. That sounds good.
Yeah, and I got that gift from Marina for you as well.
Yeah.
Oh, nice one.
Yeah. I mean, from the behind the table side of it, let's talk about that first. Yeah, because... obviously, we had like some comics and some art, and you know, Dan was selling 3 volumes of Vanguard, launching the 3rd one, weren't you, Dan? Obviously, Vanguard is a bigger book; it's a bigger sell, isn't it? Really, and I know sometimes you're a little bit sort of not concerned or worried, but
you
just
more in money. You mean?
It's a thicker book, you know, because you get your fucking money's worth with Vanguard.
Yeah, you do. Yeah,
I think so. Yeah,
you do. But it was great. The amount of time I was notching down in the column, how many like book ones, book twos, book threes. I think you were quite pleased that a lot of book ones were going as well, weren't it?
I reordered ones, and like there were some people that came up and just bought all 3, like a cold buy.
And rolling it, my friend.
Yeah, I was like, wow. And that was like me talking to a minute. There was one chap who stayed a little while, and I think he went talking to you, Vince. But like I was talking to him, and I thought, I don't think this is really going to go anywhere. But I just talked to him, and then I sort of said, "Oh, what kind of stuff are you into?" And then he explained he liked those Warhammer novel books. And I said, "I've read a few of them." Like, and he got into the talking, and I said, "Oh yeah, that was the ones I've read." And we had like 5-10 minute discussion, and that ended in him coming back and buying all 3. So
it's strange, the little thing. Like as soon as you hit like almost like a personal note with it. A member of the public, when you're like, oh yeah, you could have a conversation about nothing to do with comics or nothing to do with your work.
Yeah,
but they'll just be chatting, and because I think people, as soon as people feel more comfortable, they're like, I'll get this. You know, here's a tenner, here's 15 or whatever.
I think it's like he recognised he liked this thing. I said, I really like the thing. We both done it, and then he must have thought, well, yeah, you know,
if he likes
similar
the same
things,
this
I might like this.
Yeah, yeah. And he'll be back for Volume 4 when that comes out.
Yeah,
got a fan for life there.
Yep. Yeah. So that was great, wasn't it? Lots of good feedback on Vanguard and
lot for the show as well. We had loads of people coming up talking about how they really enjoyed the show. They loved their enthusiasm, the positivity. They said you're never down on things. You're never down. That's not strictly true, but 99%
we balance
of the time,
it out. We balance it well, don't we? We're more positive than we are. Down. Yeah.
And people said they really like the positivity and the way we sort of like got real enthusiasm for what we do and what we create and the small press scene. And it's fantastic to hear that.
And well, on the point of people going down, did you get off with any chicks while you're there or?
I was just sleeping with Dan all weekend, so that was fun. Yes, the rumours are true, people. The rumours are true. No, but whoever came to the table, because obviously, sometimes you have these fantastic chats with people and you don't get their names. You know, you just have a wonderful conversation, but you don't always get their names. So anyone who came to the table and had a good chat with us and, you know, if you said whether you picked up some of our artwork or our books or anything, or just maybe you just want to say you like the show, we truly, truly appreciated it. It's always a surprise. I don't know why, because I know the people.
Yeah, I don't know. I just feel like it's just the 3 of us chatting, and then people say something, and sort of I find it a combination of quite surprising and a little embarrassing.
Yeah. Because the people that listen are the loveliest people ever.
I don't know. We worked that one out.
Yeah.
Maybe just take pity on us. Pity listening.
Probably.
So at least we're doing better than them. That's what they say.
Yeah. It could be worse. At least I'm not one of those 3.
Yeah, at least I'm not Tony.
Yeah. Yeah, so we've got a bit of audio to come up in a minute, but I'm just going to run off. The Oscar music will play in the background, and I'm going to run off some names. Obviously, I'm going to miss a few. Dan, if I miss any, feel free
to... I'll try and hoover up. Yeah, God, it's really tough there.
Yeah, because seriously, it was a room full of amazing people, and we were talking pretty much non-stop, which I had caught a cold. I've been healthy all year. And the week
it's
before
the 2nd of February, babes, don't, you know.
Yeah, but it was a long January, dude.
Yeah.
But then, like a couple of days before the con, one of the people in my office was sick. And I'm like, stay away from me.
Because I don't want to hear that.
Because I've got one of my only conventions of the year. And then on the Thursday, I had a tickly throat. I thought, well, maybe I shouldn't have kissed him. But, you know.
Yeah.
And it kicked in over the weekend. That's why my voice sounds sexy. I realised when I was listening to the interviews that I've done, no one told me how terrible I sounded.
I didn't think you sounded that bad.
Oh, dude.
Sound all right now.
Yeah, you sound
really?
Fine.
No.
Yeah.
No. No, I don't.
All the Scotch. Did you do a load of Scotch on the...
No.
On a Friday night.
Did
you guys get trashed? You never told me. Was it a beery evening? Was it?
No, we had a few pints. It wasn't that bad.
Did you kick off or?
No.
Throw the tables over.
There was a football team in there and I thought, oh, fucking hell, let's see this. But they were just like, I think they were all in bed by 9.
Right.
But like the old days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The good old days.
Bloody hell. What's with them being professionals? although I did have half a pint spilt over my trousers by John Tucker. But that's it.
Oh, that must pay him for that.
It was an interesting way of sharing out a pint.
Yeah.
Sort of seemed to, not pour, but kind of like throw the contents up.
He juggled it. Yeah, he threw the contents in the air and I had to catch them.
That's good.
Yeah. So, yeah, I might as well start with that. John Tucker and Lauren, fantastic company.
Lovely
as always.
People.
Good people.
They were there on the Friday night. Like we say, Gareth Slightone.
Yeah.
Mike Collins and his wife Gwendolyn, they were great to chat to. We had a good conversation about movies when we had breakfast on the Saturday, didn't we?
Yeah.
Which was good. Falpy, of course.
The Falpster.
Riding high from Atomic Hercules.
He's just sent me a couple of pictures of it he's working on today. Yeah, it's looking good.
We put Marvel and DC to rights. We chose 5 titles we were going to use to relaunch the DC and Marvel Universe.
We
spent a long time doing that.
There's a little bit of that with this new project of his. Yeah, there's a little bit in there.
And there was something we came up with, which could be a really interesting art project, which I don't want to announce on the show. We've told Tony. We've said the old man thing. We haven't.
Oh yeah, you have. Yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah. We might do a few bits of art to, but it was making us laugh all night. so that was great. On the day, of course, all the helpers were fantastic. You had the likes of Russell Mark Olsen and Emily. He was feeling a bit unwell. I've stolen your Barocca, by the way, Russell.
What?
Yeah, one of the. I should have put it in my. You know when people take a picture of their con hall, the stuff that they
should have put that in.
I should have put the Barocca in.
Yeah.
And the dressing gown from the room.
Is that what you do? How many dressing gowns have you got, Tony?
Well, I like the ones that you can just sort of dangle open a little bit.
Oh God, he's the Ric Flair of comics,
right? Like patient gowns in hospitals, but on
I wear them backwards.
Oh my God! What an image. Yes, of course. There was the likes of the Big Punch Studios, Hellbound Media, Art92, the Happy Clam guys, Sarah Millman, Steve Tanner, Nick Prolix, Kevin Gordon Brett, and the star of the show, Sam Brett.
Hey, is that his first tabling, isn't it, Sam? I suspect.
He's
a young guy, and he's putting up some great art. Yeah.
He gave me an IG88 card gifted to me, and it's fantastic. I couldn't have done that at his age. No way.
Good lad. Yeah. I met him at Nottingham because he helped me carry loads of boxes in.
Brilliant.
He
loves comics. So.
Yeah, good.
Yeah. The likes of Dan Harris. Alex and James from Pipe Dream Comics. Sarah of the Valhalla Ladies and Talking Comics Podcast.
Yeah. I speak to her occasionally when she's done a review for us and stuff. Yeah, she seems all right. She's like a good egg. She's the one that John Ottaway didn't murder. Is that the right?
Yeah. speaking of the serial killer hasn't been caught yet, John Ottaway was there. Obviously, Izz McAuliffe, Gustavo Vargas, Rob Bone, and his art collection, which we normally see every year. And
I know the guy.
There was some amazing stuff on there. Rich Carrington was next to us as well.
Oh, yeah. Nice. Oh, cool.
I managed to swipe a page of original art.
Oh, did you?
From Brian Dawson from the Mahoneys. It's fantastic.
Nice. Good stuff.
Yeah,
he gave it to me. I didn't steal it.
Yeah. So, yeah. I have to clarify that. Sarah Gordon, Pete Taylor. This man is Pete, and Mark Hughes, aka son of Ken.
Nice.
They were there as well. Mark is also he prodded me in the chest, and he said, "Have you still got those T-shirts available?" And I think it's right about time that we need to probably in the next couple of weeks or
we're out of T-shirts. We've got like one medium left in my garage or something. That's about it.
So the shirts that you always see like us wearing at shows and stuff, you know, we'll if you want one of those over the next couple of weeks, we'll probably put out a pre-order. We'll put a shout out.
Do you know what, guys? Is it worth us doing Awesome Comics 5 years?
That's an interesting one. Yeah,
it's only a few months away, isn't it?
We should talk about it off air.
Yeah.
I like to think at talking T-shirts. Cliff Cumber, I wore a T-shirt he made.
Emotionally in my pants.
I didn't get questioned about that all day, so I just presume people thought, "Yeah, that's par for the course."
Yeah, it's just standard. That isn't official merch.
Stop the presses. Was it Harris not there?
Sarah Harris was there. Yeah, of course she's there.
Okay.
Yeah. Sarah is an absolute trooper.
Yeah, she's indeed. Kev Cooling, Matthew Bunce, met him for the first time.
Oh, right, he's listening. He's put some stuff on the Facebook page recently, isn't he? Yeah. Seems like a good egg.
David Hingley, Hingley. Super nice guy, and gave us a little free comic of his, which was Circumference.
It was fantastic,
so definitely go check out more of his comics.
Nice.
Have I missed any? I mean, I've missed out lots of people. Sarah Dunkerton.
Sam and George London.
Was there any?
Andy Hanks, yeah. We've got I Am Zoot. That's fantastic. We had Dan Cornwell sitting on the left.
Of course, yeah.
Oh, yeah, of course you did. Yeah. Did you get an interview with Dan?
No. I spent a large time talking to him, but none of that was interviewing.
It was another one. He was pretty busy most of the time as well. Wasn't
he was.
Great
eyes,
man. He's the next Esquire. I keep saying it. His eye is class.
He's a really nice bloke.
Yeah, he is. He's the next bus driver, really. He used to drive a bus, gave it up to be a comic artist. Yeah. Good man.
Dave Broughton.
Of course. Yeah.
Spoke to a long time speaking to Dave.
He said Sarah Dunkerton, didn't he? Sarah Dunkerton. Yeah, cool.
Dan Whitehead.
I mean,
you could essentially go to oktruebelievers.com, look at their exhibitors, and we no doubt spoke to most of them and had a great time. Laura Howell from the who's known from the Beano and stuff. You might be hearing. In the near future.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
So I did a What We Do in the Shadows print swap with her. So I got the better deal because I got two fantastic prints off her, and she only got one A4 from me.
I'll tell you what was strange. I went out into the hall bit where they have the cosplay bit, and there was loads of people in costume I hadn't seen inside. Right. I wasn't sure if they just went to the hotel for the cosplay thing.
They put a stage up, don't they? I say,
Yeah, they do.
But I think you can get an access to that without actually having to get into the con.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't know. Maybe I just wasn't paying attention. They did go walking around.
There is literally something for everyone. They do a drawing class out there, didn't they?
Panels. There's a lot of troops.
Yeah.
Are they going next year? They're going to go do another one next year, aren't they?
Yeah, should do.
I hope so.
We essentially learned that Stuart Mulrain at least has one more lanyard to get. He needs to complete his collection because it has beautiful artwork on the lanyards.
I know. He saved me one. Good lad. Yeah, he saved me one.
He says, I've got one more lanyard in me that I need to complete the collection. So I presume it's going to be back next year. So if so, we'll be there if they'll let us. And in all seriousness, it's just a good show. It's a great way to kick off the UK convention season, especially if you just like comics.
Yeah, what's next? What's the next one? Is it MCM? May?
No, there's going to be ones before.
I'm in Ireland.
There's a few. Correct me if I'm wrong, people.
You're in a skill, isn't you? I think
there's some Scottish shows and stuff. And certainly, if there are stuff any conventions coming up in between now and like May and stuff, let us know so we'll shout out. So there might be, one just around the corner from you that you don't know about. It's amazing how many times that happens.
I need to know as well. Yeah, yeah. You got Mac Powell's just announced. I think they've just announced their guests.
Yeah.
I'll give them a shout out next week, Mac Powell. But I'm at Offset in April as well, this is the first weekend in April, which is an Irish one in Dublin. So I'm going to that. Yeah. So that's quite exciting. I've not done that one before.
Yeah. So if you know of one, get in touch with us on either the email or Twitter, which we'll chuck out at the end of the show, and let us know. But Pardon?
We'll get emotional in our pants. That's what we do, according to our T-shirts.
Yeah. Well, yeah. According to us in general, I think. But anyway, we got a few interviews on the day. As you can tell, we were on the go all the time, but we did manage to get a couple of interviews. From the shop floor of True Believers 2020, here you go. Right, here we are from the shop floor of True Believers 2020. It's me, Vince, and I'm with...
your boy, Danny B.
In the place to be with my boy, Danny B, yes. We're all set up for the day. I'm quite pleased with our table set up.
Yeah, it's going really well. We got a double-sized table.
Yeah.
Because we're rolling deep, gangsters. Yeah, so we've got an absolutely fantastic setup. It's going great so far.
Yeah, there's loads of great sort of indie creators here today. We had a quick wander around before the doors opened, didn't we?
There's tons. Like every show you come to, there's loads of people we haven't met before and just want to see what they can do. Which is great.
Some old friends, hopefully some new friends.
Yeah.
We're all about making friends, aren't we?
We'll give that a go in a minute.
Yeah, we're going to try and get some interviews on the day as it goes. So we'll keep you posted.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
We'll see how we get on.
Yeah. I mean, Dan's got two sketches he's got to draw now, so I'm just going to leave him to it. Who are you drawing now?
Baku and Deku from My Hero Academia. Yeah, I had to Google.
That's quite a massive franchise, though, isn't it?
Like, I had to Google both of those characters. So I did know them, but I just wasn't quite sure.
But I might take some pictures as Dan's drawing them, just, you know, because people love that, don't they?
Yeah, they love seeing stuff like that. This is the first drawing on paper I've done since before Christmas, because I've got the iPad thing, so I've not been doing it. So
you've forgotten how to do it?
I've pretty much forgotten how to draw.
Right, yeah. Yeah, you are using the wrong hand, Dan. You know that, don't you? And don't use those crayons. No, the crayons, no.
Oh, my God.
Okay, so if I said to you, make tea, not war, a lot of you would probably know that I'm talking about NPC tea, and therefore our old friend, Milmo, aka Sarah Millman. Hello.
Hello, how's it going?
It is going well. How is your True Believers?
Very good. I just want to say first, thank you for giving me Milmo. That's worked out really well. I think that was Tony, wasn't it?
I think it was me.
Was it you?
I think it was one of my rare moments of trying to be. But you've owned it.
Yeah, I've owned it. It's really good.
But it was to the point, I was like, did that get mentioned on the show? And now it's you, isn't it?
Yeah, okay, Milmo.
Does everyone use it?
I think the more I use it, the more other people use it.
Yeah.
So, and I've just kind of gone, yeah, it fits really, I can brand this really well, so thank you. I kind of run with it.
Thanks. We're a podcast and a brand agency. But in all seriousness, though, obviously you're here at True Believers. You've got, like, the issues of NPCT, which, you know, we love. You know, we've talked about it many times on the show. Fantastic book. But also you've just kicked off, well, literally, a Kickstarter.
Yeah.
You've got that tired... look in your eyes that says, what have I done? Tell us about it.
I'm more kind of... It's very stressful doing a Kickstarter.
You've done this. How many times? For MCT, how many times have you done this now?
This is my sixth Kickstarter overall. It's my fifth one for... Wait, how many have I done?
Because there was a couple where you did a couple of issues for Kickstarter.
Yeah.
A couple
of issues. So I think I've done five for MPCT. So the thing is with this one is that it's the most ambitious one I've ever done. Yeah. So I'm asking for a lot more money than I usually ask. And the reason that I'm doing that is because it's for the final issue that comes with a slip case for all of the issues and then also volume one. Why do I do this to myself?
I don't know. I mean, it's a tale as old as time.
song is all just rhyme.
Yeah. Beauty and the Beast. What you don't know, folks, is we've had a good 15 minutes before we even start this interview just talking about D&D and things like that. So, yeah, and this could go off on a tangent.
Let's not,
but we can't. Because you have this. I mean, I will say about the Kickstarter, I love the fact that you're doing a collection and a slipcase for those who have bought the individual issues. Because I think a lot of people, when they're like, people have bought the individual issues, here's a trade.
Yeah.
And they don't think about it. Because there are those people like, well, I've bought all the issues, I may not want the collection. Was that something you actually genuinely thought about when you...
I think it was more that I just really appreciate, like, this wouldn't have existed if people hadn't backed or bought the previous issues.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't have been able to do this without them. So it's more a kind of like a thank you. I've also done something, so with the Kickstarters, you can get, in previous Kickstarters, you could get digital ones. And so I've done like a special reward for them as well that you only find out about through the Kickstarters. So,
oh, look at that, eh?
Yeah, so, you know, I just thought about ways that I can kind of reward people, or just say, not reward, it's kind of say thank you. Yeah. For supporting me from the very, very beginning. And just, it's just nice. I just thought it'd be a nice thing to do, you know?
And it's the completion of, like, how many years? 4 years?
Four years.
4 years, 8 issues. And one hell of a...
That's partly why I have this horrified look in my eye.
And a drinking problem. No.
I do not drink.
No. Apart from tea.
A lot of tea.
Your tea drinking, has it gone up since creating a comic book?
Yes.
Which is about a tea shop.
Yeah, I think so, but I think the characters in my comic are a lot more discerning, whereas I'm a lot more just...
Tetley PG.
Yeah, whatever, PG, yeah, that's fine.
How do you feel about Yorkshire tea? That's quite a strong brew, it's a bit too much for me.
No, I don't get it, sorry. I know a lot of people are...
I agree with you, come at us, internet.
Yeah.
Well, actually, no, please don't.
But yeah, a big thing for me is that I have to have soy or like replacement. Yeah. I can't have actual milk. So, you know.
Because you must have done a bit more research into tea as well.
I did at the start. I did loads. So all stuff about like, you know, it's all gone from my brain now. But things like single source or mixed blends and stuff. What the special...
Because there's dialogue in the book that is...
Yeah. That's like... it's not single source. There's a special word for it and I'm going to kick myself later. But there's all these different things because I wanted it to sound like he's genuinely passionate about tea.
Yeah.
But all of it has just escaped my brain. Sometimes you just want a pot of breakfast tea and you don't care.
Yeah.
But
that's what we'll take away from this interview.
That said, in Cardiff, there's just opened up a Bird and Blend tea shop. That is amazing.
What is it?
It's Bird and Blend. So it's just all these like, it's like they're based in Bristol and it's all these like specialist blends of tea, but they're all really accessible. There's nothing like too fancy pants. And they do like flavored matchas. Oh my God, it's so good. It's like the night. I had peach flavored matcha from them. And it's just... Anyway, sorry.
If this is making you thirsty, we apologise. But, yeah, no, the comic itself is awesome. You know we love it. But you also, as well as the comic, you've got badges. You've genuinely got quite a jamboree of stuff on your table. You just passed me a little booklet. There is a tea... Just tell us what this is.
So it's basically, it's a guide to the tea shop in my comic. So there's stuff about, it's like a tea menu, there are magical teas in it. But I've done it so that everything has got stats on it, so you can use it in a D&D campaign. So there's stuff like NPCs that run the tea shop. It's basically everything you need if you wanted to run Earthrig, the tea shop, from NPCT in your D&D campaign.
You did sort of say, I've done this just for me, essentially. Mm-hmm. But that's what's... most fun about it. That's what, you know, brilliant about comics, isn't it? So where can people find NPCT and the Kickstarter, etc.?
So probably the best place to start is my Twitter page. So that's heart_of_time.
Well, that feels a long time ago, doesn't
it? Oh my God, it feels like years ago, because it is.
Yeah, it is.
And also my name on it is Milmo. It's a little teacup with the main character from my comic in.
Yeah.
And from there, you can find links to all my Kickstarter on my website. You can also do heartoftime.co.uk/Kickstarter, and that'll take you straight to the campaign. And it's been up for, at the time of speaking, since 7 o'clock last night, and we're about 30% funded. Yeah. So
she hasn't slept since.
No, I haven't.
You'll smash it. It's going to be great. But thank you, Milmo.
Thanks for having me.
Right, I'm here with... this is the one interview that Dan does on the the podcast. Tick a box.
Oh, I'm honoured.
Yeah, I'm Sarah Dunkerton. We're going to be talking about Malt. This is the first time you've done...
True Believers, yes. Yeah. This is the first time we've been here. I'm very much enjoying myself today.
It's been a really good day.
Yeah.
I mean, talking for me sales-wise, I've done all right.
Yeah, so have we, yeah.
What I'm saying about this con, like... There's people who want to buy the stuff and want to read it, and it makes a real difference.
Yes, it does. We've had several people who've come along and bought all five issues. Issue 5 launched last year, and now we've got the full story out.
Oh, nice one.
Yeah, it's really, really nice to see kind of people getting enthused and, you know, squeeing when they see little mice driving a car. It's like, yes, that's the reaction.
Any kind of like return readers who've kind of like got previous books and then wanted
Definitely. Yeah, yeah. There's a couple of people have bought like 1 and 2 and have come up for 3 and 4, or people have come up for like 4 and 5 to complete the set.
Oh,
and
nice
it's
one.
It's really,
that's
really
fantastic.
Cool. Really love it.
It's kind of, I don't know about you, but I don't get the option, the thing of talking about the story too much. When people come up, who are fans of the comic, and start talking to you about
yeah,
it, they're like,
yeah.
Oh, look, someone's talking to you about the story.
It's like, oh, you enjoyed that bit. Oh, that's fantastic. I had someone ask me what my favourite issue was, and I was like, I can't choose. Like, the characters are great in this one. There's some great action sequences in this one. Like, I don't want to give too much away. They're my babies. I can't pick a favourite.
Which would you say, like, this is the standout issue out of the 5? All being good, obviously, but maybe one you enjoyed working on the most?
Maybe... Oh, I don't know. Enjoyed working on the most was probably, like, issues 1 and 2.
Okay.
But the standout, probably, like, 4, I guess, is where it really kind of, like, kicks off and find its momentum. Okay. And just, like... Well, it carries on through, but that's where the action really kind of, like, reaches its peak.
Was it a bit sweet doing the final one?
A little bit, yeah. Yeah, but at the same time, it was delayed slightly due to kind of, well, life. Yeah. So, yeah.
Unfortunately, it like, does get in the way.
It does. But yeah, a little bit, but...
You got any more plans for, like, carrying on, or you got another project thinking of on the horizon?
I've got a few things that I'm thinking about doing on the horizon after this, yeah. But Matt and I have got ideas for another series arc.
Really nice.
But whether or not that will come to fruit or not, time will tell. But
kind of,
yeah.
There's only so many time to tell so many stories, and like, you've got to pick and choose what you
this
want
to do. This is true, yeah.
Mob's doing great, and if you're enjoying it, why not carry on?
Definitely. I'm in love with the characters. I could draw those mice, like... forever, but
all day every day.
Yeah, exactly, all day every day.
And you've got like these are the covers or
yeah so it's the original artwork from the covers, like the inks and stuff, so
yeah, fantastic.
Yeah, thanks man.
Are they for sale or are you just for show?
They are for show currently. I haven't had the heart to kind of sell them. Some people, like before the series was complete, have come up, oh, how much are you selling these for? I was like, I don't know, I couldn't value them.
Yeah, I understand.
And I felt like I wanted the full series to be out before I could then kind of go, okay,
yeah,
you know, this is what it's about.
I mean, maybe you could do like a collection, and then part of the collection is like you pay a price to get the,
yeah,
one of the
yeah,
covers,
that's true. Yeah, yeah, could
if
do.
If you wanted to. But I quite like having the originals. Mm. It's kind of, because once they're sold, to me, they're sold. It's gone.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, I kind of done myself a disservice, really. When I was creating the comic, I do it in a sketchbook, like panel by panel, and then piece it together in
That's
Photoshop.
How I work.
So yeah. Awesome. So I don't have complete pages.
Gotcha.
So it's the covers and like splash pages that I do have. So it's like,
you do have the sketchbooks.
I do have the sketchbooks, and hell, if anyone wants to buy them, that'd be a bomb. That'd be
contact the
that's
Sarah
directly. Jeez, yeah. That's a whole lot, that is.
Nice one. Well, cheers. Thanks for talking to us.
Yeah, no worries. Good to meet you.
Okay, I'm here with Dan Whitehead, writer, as it says on his marvellous banner. And in front of me is a table full of fantastic comics from the likes of Ella Upgraded, Frankenstein Texas, those two which I just bought, and Hex Loader, as well as lots of other, Specky Nation, which... Yeah, it's amazing. So, tell us a bit more about your work. I mean, where do you start? Which one do you want to start with? Hex Loader, because Kev Cooling walked past and said, that's an amazing book. So, what's that about?
So, Hex Loader, I mean, my background is the games industry. That's where I came from. Games is something I kind of grew up loving. Games and comics was basically me from the age of sort of 9 through to, well, now, basically. And Hex Loader was an idea I had. The idea that computer programmers are kind of like warlocks in a way, in the sense that they kind of have these kind of runes and incantations that nobody else understands, but they can make stuff happen. Yeah.
And I thought, anyone that's done any kind of coding
will know what that. Yeah.
Yeah. So the idea was, you know, what if someone actually worked out how to use computer code for occult purposes? So you could use a code to cast a spell rather than doing it yourself. You could automate magic through a computer.
Yeah.
And that was kind of where that idea started from.
I mean, I think you just sold a lot of people on that already. But, like, mix that with Connor Boyle's artwork and, like, it's match made in heaven, surely.
It is, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I was put in touch with Connor because I was just starting getting to self-publishing stuff in sort of 2016. And Connor was recommended to me by loads of people as an artist I should reach out to collaborate with. And, you know, I reached out to him and he was interested in doing something, and I thought, well, this is the idea I've had in the back of my mind. So I thought, well, that's the one I'll go with then. And the idea was to kind of like the old Vertigo stuff, you know, but with kind of more of a British twist to it.
Nice.
So, yeah. That was
You've got three issues. Is it three issues I
there's
see?
There's three issues there, yeah.
Is that a complete set or are there more to come?
Well, there's going to be two more issues, whether we do them as separate issues or whether we just go straight to a graphic novel kind of compendium of all.
Is it a complete story or is there a separate story in each?
Oh, no, it's an ongoing story. Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, my aim is, after many years of promising Connor, I'm going to finish writing it.
Yeah.
My aim
yeah.
is this year, because I keep getting distracted by other things that come yeah. along. So my aim is this year that I'm going to finish it off. It's all plotted out. I just need to finish the script.
Is one of those things Ella upgraded? How did that... I mean, what is that? I mean, that looks like a great... You go from the occult and video games to something that looks like a fantastic all-ages sort of book.
Yeah, I mean... I actually started out in kids' comics and kids' publishing. You know, I used to work on Looney Tunes and Rugrats and things like that back in the 90s.
Nice.
I used to be the editor of Pretty Pony Club, you'll be pleased to hear. So
there's probably a lot of people cheering about that now.
Yeah, big fan base for that one. especially My Little Pony, but without the license.
Oh, nice.
And yeah, so I'd always liked working, you know, writing for kids, because kids, if they're into something... they're the best audience ever, because they just love it and they really respond to it. And I started doing Comic Cons with my self-published stuff, which was all kind of quite adult stuff like Hexloader. But I noticed there was lots of kids coming past the table and I didn't have anything for them. And I thought, well, I should address that really and have something.
There's a lot more kids. It's great to see a lot more kids at conventions now, isn't it? Sort of
oh, like. God, yeah.
So when you've got nothing but proper adult books, it's sort of... You feel bad, you're thinking, oh, you want to get more comics into the hands of kids, haven't you?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like I say, it's not like it's something I thought I should do that for marketing yeah. reasons. It's an audience I love yeah. writing for anyway, and I thought, why aren't I doing comics yeah. for kids?
Yeah.
So what I wanted to do was kind of tap back to the kind of adventure comics that I liked reading when I was a kid, but try and do it in a way that kids today would appreciate. So I was yeah. thinking stuff like, you know, Leopard of Lime Street, Billy the Cat... That kind of suburban superhero type thing, and the idea evolved and mutated quite a lot over the months as I was putting it together.
Yeah.
But it eventually ended up as Ella Upgraded.
So, what exactly is the synopsis of Ella Upgraded?
So, Ella's this kind of precocious, too cool for school sort of 11-year-old girl, and she lives alone with her older brother. We don't say where the parents have gone, but it's kind of implied that they've passed away. And she's obsessed with this old Game Boy console that her dad left her, although we call it a game box. So again, tapping back into that sort of games industry background. But anyway, she's not paying attention. She's crossing the road. She's in an accident. But her brother is a kind of aspiring scientist trying to get funding for this research he wants to do. And he saves Ella's life by taking the broken games console and putting it in her brain to fix the connection between her sort of nervous system and her body. But now
only in comics.
I've researched this. The science checks out, honestly. And now, whenever she puts the games cartridges in the back of her head, she gets whatever skills are in the game. So
no, that's awesome.
It's kind of like in the Matrix, where you go, I know kung fu.
Yeah.
Kind of playing on that a bit. But you know, if she puts like a racing game in, she can.
It's like what's the game I remember where you wore different masks, and whenever you wore different masks, you had different powers.
Yeah, it's that kind of thing, and also like Dial H for Hero and those kind of comic books, you know, where it's like. And also, I was quite inspired by stuff like Ben 10, which my son loved when he was little.
I think not enough people realise how huge Ben 10 was, or is, you know, probably still is, but that was an enormous...
But I love the idea of the hero who's got, like, a whole bunch of things at their command, and each story is about which one are they going to use, how are they going to use it, what new ones can you introduce. So I wanted to have something that had that kind of scope, where with the future storylines I can go, what if she had this game, what if she had that game, what if she did this.
Each issue would almost be a different power, a different game, sort of.
Yeah, I mean, in this first story, which is going to come out hopefully in a couple of months from Fair Spark Books, they've picked it up, I think she uses about 3 or 4 different ones in that one, because I really wanted to show off, you know, all the different ideas behind it. I'm trying to pace myself, because I'm kind of thinking, don't use up all the best ones, and then...
Oh, let's see, she's going to need to use a farming simulator. Yeah. So.
But even then, you can have some really weird fun with that, you know. Yeah. I mean, one of the things I do in this one, which I won't spoil, but I wanted to... I was at MCM in Manchester, and this is one of the things I love about doing Ella Upgraded, because I did this, like, first preview issue, and, like, a kid will buy it, and then, like, 10 minutes later, they'll come back and go, where's the next one? Which is frustrating for them, because they're raised on Netflix and they're used to the next thing being 10 seconds away.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it's great, because they want to know what happens next. So this girl did that at MCM, and she came up to me, where's the next one? I said, well, I'm writing it now. Why don't you tell me what you'd like to see happen? And she said, well, I want to see what happens when she loses her powers. And I thought, well, she's just got them, so I can't really take
them
away.
Yeah, can't do that in issue two.
But I thought, well, we can come up with a way that, you know, she's kind of relying on them already, but then all of a sudden, you know, through circumstances, she kind of loses most of the game's cartridges, and she's only left with, like, a rubbish one, which I won't say what it is, but she has to find a way to use this not exactly action-packed game to help save the day.
But it's great, though. It's like, it's different challenges. It's like trying to figure out different puzzles, isn't it, really, writing a comic? Like, okay, how am I going to do that? You've fixed that problem by working around the problem, you know, so you're giving someone what they want, but at the same time not just taking away all the powers and stuff. Yeah, I mean, it looks great, and we love Fair Spark Books on the show anyway. And then, like I say, I just picked up Frankenstein Texas, Western Monsters, and David Hitchcock as the art. I barely had to look through it to buy it, but what exactly is that? Because I see that the figure is on your banner as well.
So Frankenstein Texas was an idea I've been kicking around for over a decade, you know, back when I was in my 20s and thinking I will be a screenwriter. You just do that and that'll be fine. I started writing it as a film, and didn't really got anywhere with it, and then I thought I'll just write it as a novel. Didn't really get very far with that. And then when I sort of came across David and was introduced to him and his work, and he's so good at doing the kind of Victorian Gothic stuff, it just clicked, and I went, I can do Frankenstein Texas now, because it just all fell into place. And I was like, right, and then I just sat down and I wrote the script in like a couple of weeks, you know.
I guess if you had already had that idea in your head, like,
I had a kind of, I knew the concept, which is basically what if Frankenstein and the monster went to the Wild West, because Frankenstein was published in 1832, I think. In America, that was the era of, you know, the Wild West.
So is it the Frankenstein story has happened and they've gone to the Wild West, or is it the Frankenstein story in the Wild West?
It's kind of a sequel, in the sense that the idea is that at the end of Mary Shelley's novel was like a cover story, basically. Baron Frankenstein basically paid Mary Shelley to write this sort of fake history that kind of had them going off to the Arctic and disappearing and dying there, when in reality it was to cover their tracks as they headed west across Europe, and then from Ireland on the coffin ships as people fled the potato famine to America. So we kind of pick up with them on the ship heading to New York.
A lot of historical sort of things to look up, and
I wanted to make it's a fairly pulpy story, but I wanted to base it in something where you go, okay, that's actually what it was like, you know, so it's not complete fantasy.
So when did that one?
That was 2017, I think, that came out.
That's what I love about comic conventions. This is the first time I've discovered it, and that's like, you know, that's what the show's all about. I mean, you've got a wide range of books. I think I'm going to buy some more in a second. But where can people find you online and like pick up more of your work?
I have a website, danwhitehead.net. There's an Amazon page for me. If you search for me on Amazon, there's a page for me there.
He's legit.
Oh, yeah. Mr. Fancy Pants, me. I'm on Twitter, at Dan Whitehead, like writer. I don't like the name, but I'm stuck with it now. And
find links and go through them?
Yeah, yeah, just Google me. I'm fairly easy to find, I think.
That's a dangerous thing to say.
Well, yeah, the pictures are all gone. I've got rid of them.
Oh, that's good.
Thanks, man.
Right, it's Dan again on the second interview, and I'm here with Rich Carrington. We're going to talk about Mahoney's issue three. It's two. Fantastic.
Thank you very much. You've been very kind about it on the show.
They're getting better and better by it as they go on. I mean, it's a real strong start with Mahoney's, and then second, great, and you've got the third.
Yeah, issue three's coming out. Yeah, I think issue one was all about the setup, and it was getting the characters out there. Issue two was a bit different with the award ceremony. Yeah. But then we go in a little bit ambitious again in issue three. It's part one of a four-parter, which is something I thought twice about doing because there's obviously not a monthly gap between issues.
Yeah.
But it's a really interesting story. Basically, some space aliens invade and all the heroes gather to take them out and they just end up getting wiped out by the aliens.
Nice.
So then... who's left to sort of defend the Earth is the bad guys.
Oh, excellent.
So not trying to give too much away, but issue three is all about, you know, there's a sub-story with, there's a character called Snowstorm, and he's basically an alcoholic.
Okay.
And we're trying to do something a bit, because it's set in a bar, we're trying to be a bit sort of, you know, the after effects of a supervillain who's, you know, pisshead, yeah. Really. And he does things like he gets drunk and he puts ice... breasts on the Statue of Liberty and stuff like that, but it's about sort of the responsibility of running a bar. But you know, if one of you,
if someone's got a drinking problem,
yeah, yeah,
how to
yeah,
handle it.
Okay. Yeah. So it's obviously still a comedy, but yeah. There's that element. But then the bigger story of issue three is this alien invasion.
Because there's a history between the main chap in the bar, whose name is
Mike,
and the main superhero character. Who's like,
yeah, yeah, there's a Superman and a Batman allegory, yeah. Night Cowl and Captain Superior, and they're obvious sort of allegories. Yeah. But it's good to have them as foils for the, because the bad guys are the, not the heroes, but the bad guys are the sort of focus of the book.
Yeah.
And it's their attitudes towards these sort of stereotypical superheroes. And if you were a bad guy, you'd just fucking hate them, wouldn't you?
You
just,
would, yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And they do. But yeah, Mike and Captain Superior have got a sort of mutual respect thing going on. Because Mike is a reformed villain, he gets a certain amount of leeway with that.
But kind of Mahoney's kind of keeps them, if they're there drinking, they're not out somewhere else.
Yeah, and with it being a comedy, the bad guys in it, they're robbing banks and stuff like that. They're not murderers. They're not trying to sort of...
It's more that kind of classic superhero, supervillain thing of robbing banks or taking over a building. They're not like shooting innocents.
Exactly right.
Like,
because at the end of the day, you'd want to have a drink with these guys.
Yeah.
And if they were edgy sort of, you know, killers, and you wouldn't want to have a drink with Carnage, would you? But you'd go and have a drink with, I can't think, but like a nicer supervillain, you know,
like Captain Cavalier or whatever he is, and some dude that runs around with the sword.
Yeah,
if he's like in the bar. That's fine.
And they're not laughable figures, but they're sort of nice supervillains. Yeah. They're not too edgy, because it is a comedy at the end of the day. But issue three should be coming to Kickstarter end of February, of March.
Wow, okay, so it's right around the corner.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's 95% done. We're waiting on four pages. So it's pretty much in the bag. And
your artist is absolutely crushing it.
Oh, right? My God, Brian.
By the issue, by the pages, getting better and better.
Yeah. And he's genuinely levelled up in issue three. Yeah. His artwork is phenomenal. And issue one and two is a lot of, because it's set in the bar, there's a lot of talking, but issue three takes place out of the bar a bit more.
Okay.
So Brian's, there's a few splash images, there's a bit more fighting going on, which gives him his art room to breathe. Unbelievable.
Yeah, he's like...
And when you write, like, a character puts snow tits on the Statue of Liberty and expect him to draw it, he just smashes it out of the park. Every page. Unbelievable.
He's got an art style that really appeals to me. It's really chunky, and characters have weight and mass and density.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's like when you see the big guys in that, it feels like they're carrying that weight and that muscle around.
Yeah.
I really like that. Really,
so like Mike Mahoney's this ridiculous, stacked. He's like the juggernaut, really.
Yeah.
But I think Brian's style is quite cartoony, which suits the sort of comic nature of the book. But it's almost animated as well. I think it's fantastic.
Yeah, I really...
I mean, I would say that, but honestly...
Yeah, I think you found a real gem there. I mean, the two of you work really well, and Mahoney's comes together great. And
yeah, but as I say, issue three, his stuff is through the roof. Some of his images, unbelievable.
give us a shout when it comes around. And
we'll do. Keep an eye out for Kickstarter. I think probably start of March, if we're being honest. But as I say, the book's all done. I'll start sharing some pages online and keep an eye out, yeah.
Little girl running down the hall there scared me.
Yeah.
Well, nice one, Rich.
Nice one, thanks, mate. Cheers.
I am here, and I'm about to have a good story on its way now. I'm here with Sarah Gordon, who's got this brilliant set of books called Vicious Creatures. The covers are absolutely stunning. I've just discovered they were lino cut, which kind of blew my mind. And if you like graphic design, like I know a lot of our listeners do, just check them out. You'll love them. But there's apparently a bit of a story behind it. But first, hello, Sarah. How's your day been?
It's been all right. Thank you very much. How's your day been?
It's been all the better for speaking to you.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, say. But what is, for those people who don't know what I'm talking about, what is like this Vicious Creatures set?
Vicious Creatures, in a nutshell, is a set of standalone folk horror short stories. I actually kickstarted a collection of these last year, where I ended up making some special ink, basically, to finish off the set. So the ink is all made from the ashes of this large wicker owl that a bunch of Kickstarter sort of helped me put together. Good fun.
Right. So I really think we need to break this down. The ink was made... Well, so there was ink and then you put ashes into it. Like you hear, like, sometimes they print with blood. That some people put blood into a printer's ink. I mean, what...
It's not exactly like that. So basically it turns out that one of the crudest, most basic recipes that you can have for ink is basically purified water and ash. I read this, it's a way of making prison tattoos and things. People basically sort of purify...
Wow.
Yeah, you just purified water, maybe a bit of alcohol just to sterilise everything, and then some kind of either lamp black or paper ash or something like that. It's not the best ink that you can make in the world, but it works.
Yeah.
I read this and I couldn't forget that fact, basically. So I have to do something with this.
Because you're like, you're a printmaker as well, don't you? You do a lot of this.
I do, yes. So yeah, I like experimenting with, you know, making my own materials and stuff like that. It's, you know, I don't know, sort of makes it a bit more personal, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So I decided that I wanted to make this book, and I was thinking an awful lot about, you know, the sort of symbiotic relationship that artists and their audience sort of have and stuff. And I was like, how can I actually like hard bake that into a comic somehow? And it's like, well, probably the most integral part of a comic, if you're an artist, is got to be your materials. So your ink is kind of like, it's pretty essential, let's face it. So
no ink, there is no comic.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. So I decided that what I wanted to do was, with the Kickstarter, backers would obviously be getting a copy of this book, but also they would have the opportunity to write me a letter or, you know, get something off their chest, be it, you know, something that they wanted to forget or some kind of a, you know, like in loving memory of somebody or something like that. Get that to me either in an email that I would print off or send me a physical copy of it. And I would then take those letters and put them into, as I said, a large wicker owl.
Which, you know, if you go to your local home base, you can find... you know, wicker owls are 10 a penny.
Yeah.
No, but, I mean, where did you get the wicker owl?
Well, I had to make it. I mean, I didn't actually construct the thing from scratch. Originally, when I first planned it, I'd bought myself a load of willow, and I was fully intending on sort of constructing a sort of basket-like sort of owl, sort of effigy kind of thing. In the end, I found that that was a little bit too impractical. I'm an artist, not a sculptor, so...
God damn it, Jim, I'm an artist.
So I ended up sort of working with a couple of ready-mades. So the wings I ended up making from the willow that I'd already bought. The body of the owl was made out of a large wicker coffin that I bought on eBay. And then I sort of embellished from there. I can show you a video in a bit if you like.
I think we're going to have to put a link to this video in the show notes.
Fine.
Oh my God.
It was a hell of a day.
I mean, that's a lot going into the book. That's before the book...
It's a bit extra.
That's just to print the thing. And it's folk horror, which is quite funny. I saw on Twitter someone, I think it was the Sinister Horror Company, they sort of said, oh, give us recommendations of, like, good folk horror. And I've noticed that folk horror is a thing that's It's come more to the fore in the past few years, have you?
Yeah, I've definitely noticed that myself as well. I mean, I suppose that I stumbled upon this myself just as it was a conflagration of my various different interests, and there seems to be something quite zeitgeisty around it, right? About, you know, other people seem to be happening on it in the same sort of accidental kind of way. It just sort of seems to be making sense for where they are creatively right now. I mean, I suppose we live in a time where there's an awful lot of interesting tension going on. It's possibly picking up on some of that. I don't know.
And then, like, you know, if you think about, like, in the larger media, you get films like Midsommar, which are just becoming huge.
I watched that 2 weeks ago. It's beautiful. Really quite.
But long.
Long. Very long.
Very long.
But very beautiful.
But very beautiful. But long. To the book itself, because obviously, to the arty people, that they're going to love all this. You know, that's a story that a lot of people that just come up to the table don't know this. I mean, I wanted to pick up the books, so I just saw the books.
Yeah.
But now I'm going to look at them in a completely different way, thinking, she really worked with this comic. But what is the concept and idea behind, like, Vicious Creatures?
Vicious Creatures, well, as I said, Vicious Creatures is a set of standalone short stories.
I've noticed you got Queen Rat, Good Fortune, The Salisbury Owl, and Bright Young Things. So, and they seem, there's a whole animal sort of vibe, I want to say, that going on, in the imagery especially.
Yeah, there's definitely animals sort of incorporated in it. I mean, I guess what I was looking for there was some kind of a talisman of some sort or another to, like, riff on, basically, whilst I'm, I guess, beating the boundaries of what I think the current state of folk horror in particular, but sort of folk gothic horror, kind of is in the UK scene.
Yeah.
So I'm sort of taking, with each book, there's, like, a separate trope that I'm sort of playing around with and sort of seeing...
Is there a unifying thing that ties them in? Because they're a set of four, isn't there? I mean...
Well, they're a set of four with nine stories altogether once the book is actually out. The central sort of unifying thing, I suppose, would just be it's the animals. It's sort of, you know, variations on that particular sort of theme.
And I mean, what else can you say? I mean, you made a wicker
owl.
I mean, those people are going, oh, I just can't find the right Copics to colour my picture. You must be like, give it a rest. I made an owl.
I mean, I am, I guess, driven by some interesting demons, put it that way.
Well, maybe literally.
Yeah, maybe.
But in terms of, like, convention stuff, what have you got coming up later in the year?
Later in the year, well, if they'll have me again, that it would be lovely to be back at Thought Bubble. I should be there at London MCM, both May and October. Possibly looking into Manchester MCM as well. Beyond that, watch this space, I guess.
Yeah. And where can people, like, see more of this stuff and, like, you know, get it online?
Well, if they follow me on Twitter or Instagram, I'm not Sarah Gordon on both of those.
So you're at not Sarah Gordon.
At not Sarah Gordon.
Just had to clarify that. I'm not Sarah Gordon. Well, who is she then? But it's easy to remember, though. Not Sarah Gordon is. So, find her on Twitter and Instagram.
Yeah.
And do you have an online store, etc.?
I do. There's a Gumroad account where you can get digital copies of things at the moment. The physical store is down right now, but it'll be back up in March.
So. Oh, awesome. Awesome. So look out for that. Well, thank you very much, Sarah.
Thank you so much.
Right, so True Believers is over, isn't it, Dan?
Yeah, the end. It's been a triumph.
It has been a triumph.
It's done really well.
Really nice day, actually. Vanguard's done well.
It's really well. About two or three fans come up and talk about the comic, which was really, really enthusiastic. Like, just great. And listeners of the show.
Yeah, yeah.
We had, like, a good four or five of them come up and...
It's been really amazing. Really nice. And that's one of the reasons I love this show. It's just the atmosphere. Everyone's buzzing. Everyone's packing up now, but they're all buzzing.
People come along who like comics and read comics and want to get comics. So this is the show for it.
Yeah. So make sure as soon as they release the dates for the next year, put them in your diary. Because we'll be back. We'll be back. But right now, we're both going to go home and put our feet up, aren't we, Dan?
Get on our back.
No, not
after,
like,
we've driven home.
To sleep. You need to clarify. Why don't you clarify
not
things,
the prostitution.
No.
I've never done that on Saturday.
No, not on Saturday. What night is it?
Friday.
Oh, lovely. I'll see you on Friday.
So there you go, folks.
I can't say I've got a FOMO because you banned me from saying it, but I kind of do miss being there. I've got to be honest with you. I feel bad.
I do miss Tony being there.
I really missed it. I know you were saying Dan, what a laugh it was and stuff. And I'm like, I had an absolute blast of a week. Like, a dream, like a dream come true going to that thing. But you can still miss out on stuff, can't you? You know.
Of course, you'll be back.
Yeah.
So that was True Believers. You know,
and this is me leaving.
And this is Dan dropping the mic and leaving.
Yeah.
Had enough. Yeah. This is this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, unfortunately, unlike at True Believers, when he, in his own words, he packed enough underwear that, what was it you said, Dan?
Shit your pants every hour, was it?
I could shit myself for like an hourly basis and be covered. I don't know why I quite took so much underwear.
I always bring an extra pair. I'm like you, Vince. I always pack a couple in my carry-on as well.
Yeah. But when Dan said that, I had trouble breathing. I was laughing so hard.
Did you share a room or did you get separate rooms?
We had separate rooms.
Separate rooms. Yeah. My one was all the way at the end of the hall.
Yeah.
I've stayed at that hotel a few times. Yeah, it's a long walk, isn't it?
Me and Falpy were like number one and two. Yeah. And then Vince was all the way down the end. So I'm not sure what happened there.
Yeah.
But there we go.
Yeah.
That's probably very wise of Stuart.
Yeah.
But anyway.
On that bombshell. Yeah, I'm going to back out. So I'll let you hoover up the recommendations. I can't wait to hear what Tony recommends when I listen to this tomorrow or today.
Or whenever. Yeah. But
whenever.
Dan Butcher will return.
Sign off.
Later.
See you later.
Did you just say fuck you?
I said love you.
Oh.
Don't be like that.
Oh, dear. So that was True Believers and On Glam.
I was just going to say about sharing, like having rooms next door to each other, because some hotels have that door you can unlock, don't they, between rooms?
Oh, maybe Falp and maybe there was a Falp Butcher connection.
I told you about my mate who always insists, when I'm away with him working, he always insists on having the door open. And he's one of those blokes, he does that thing where he goes, oh, what's this? And you turned around and he stuck his balls between his legs and he's like,
oh,
do you know what I mean? Does
Jesus,
that.
Jesus Christ.
You know that thing where you pretend to be a lady and you know.
You've got to stop living your life like it's one of the American Pie films. It's just.
But he always gets
it's the reason I can't bring any pastry to your house.
He always says, oh, it's too. We're going to be late. Look at this. And then you look over and, oh, he's done me again. Like that.
Oh, don't make me laugh because my chest hurts. Anyway, so that was our travels. Yeah, those were our travels. But we've got another little bit of audio, haven't we, Tony?
Yeah, typical of me. I went all the way to the south of France and ended up interviewing people from Harrogate. So it was Chloe, Amy and Steve from Thought Bubble. Most of it's Chloe, but Amy and Steve have a little... I think I surprised Amy with a question and Steve sort of chuckles. But interesting enough, it's a little bit of a... as we all know, tables are open for Thought Bubble. I think you'll hear them say they've had quite a few. So we chat about what to expect, how there's going to be a couple of little changes, a couple of little things going on. The first wave of guests has been announced, so we talk a bit about that. It's only 5 minutes, but it's just a little update from one of our favourite guests recently, Chloe, but this time we're in France.
Do you want me to go?
No, Amy, don't go, stay. Oh. I'm here with Chloe from Thought Bubble. Hi, Chloe.
Hey, how are you doing? I'm a little bit ill, so...
You are, no, you didn't even go out clubbing. We're at Angoulême, aren't we? So that's exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Have you not been before?
First time, yeah.
Liking it?
It's incredible. I just can't believe how much the town just totally gets behind it.
I know, it's amazing,
really
isn't it?
Cool, yeah.
Yeah, I'm thinking of throwing away all my clothes so I can bring a lot of books back with me.
Yeah, I only realised the night before how much weight limit we were allowed to bring.
Oh, of course,
so I've had to ditch loads of stuff, which included all the stuff that I wanted to get signed.
Yeah. What's the worst part of being here? Is it being with Amy? Is that?
Yeah. Having to stay in a giant chateau is just the worst.
Right, so what we're going to talk about is, so you came on to talk about Thought Bubble before it happened last time,
mm-hmm.
and it was very successful. We had a great time.
Yep.
Yeah, really good. And anything you wanted to talk about from when it was last time, or you enjoyed it? I think I saw you on the Saturday night, and I walked past you and you didn't see me because you were so tired.
I was delirious, yeah. the whole weekend was just like a massive adrenaline rush. It was incredible.
It was so good.
Yeah, really good.
Yeah, my favourite year so far, I think, genuinely. Yeah, my favourite convention last year as well.
Yeah, definitely. That's because I was involved.
Yes, that's what you told me to say.
Yeah.
Good. Now, the tables opened about a week ago, was it, something like that?
Yes, the last Friday, I think. Yeah. And they're going to be open now until the 16th of February.
So we're recording today on the 31st of January. So people have still got like a couple of weeks. Time they hear this.
Yeah.
Yeah, good. Okay. Have you had loads in or?
It's kind of terrifying. So applications opened before I started at Thought Bubble last year, so I didn't see them the numbers literally clicking in. But it's super cool. We love seeing new applications, so that's really exciting.
Cool, yeah. So do you is there like a group of people who choose people, or is it, you know?
The whole of Thought Bubble curates and looks through every single application, and we all like get together afterwards and have a big discussion on who gets in.
Is there anything in particular you look for? Is it like you've got a new book out or something like that?
So obviously the whole point is comics, if you've got anything that's sequential, right, that we love. But yeah, everyone's got everyone that curates has got different styles that they look for.
Okay,
so it's just about what we enjoy.
Yeah.
But we do love people releasing things at Thought Bubble, so that's always nice.
Good, yeah, because we review comics, and about 2 weeks before Thought Bubble, everyone sends their comics to us to review.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's how it works these years. Yeah, So do you want to tell us a little bit about what are the dates of it again?
It's the 14th and 15th of November.
Back at Harrogate.
Back at Harrogate Convention Centre, yeah.
Any changes to the venue so far you can think about?
We are switching it up a little bit. So the Queen's Suite, where we had panels before, we don't have that this year, so we're kind of going to do it on the convention floor.
Oh, okay.
Make it a little bit more like accessible for everyone. We learnt loads in the last year. Like, a few bits were a bit dark.
Okay,
So we're, switching it all up to make it even better than it was 2019. Real.
Excellent. And who have you got coming? Who can we say?
So far, we've only done the first wave. We've got Joe Hill,
which
is really exciting. We've got Babs Tarr, we've got Chip Zdarsky.
Vince Hunt.
Yeah, Vince Hunt, he's a big name. G. Willow Wilson, Becky Cloonan. Yeah, and we've got loads coming as well.
Yeah, we can't say.
Super top secret.
Yeah. It's like we're in the CIA.
That's exactly what it's like, except for it's a spreadsheet on my computer.
That you accidentally don't leak.
Yeah.
Cool. Anything else you wanted to just talk about from it? I don't think we can say where the parties are going to be quite yet, can we?
Have we
announced? I don't think we have.
I don't think it's secret.
No, okay.
But we haven't announced it, and we will.
Okay, let's wait.
We've got a really cool opening party planned.
Yeah, I'm DJing.
Well, if you want. But we do have the MidCon party again in the same place.
Oh, that was good, actually. Yeah, really good. And you had one on the Sunday night last year, which I didn't go to because I drove home, but was that good?
That was our wind-down party.
Yeah,
that was really good. I think we got there at about 10 p.m.
FaceTime me, or?
Yes. absolutely.
We were there until the bar closed, and then couldn't get up the next day. Yeah.
Right. Good. Well, you didn't need to, did you? Your job was done at that point.
No, we still had stuff to do.
Oh, you cleared the hall out.
Oh my god. Steve's job.
Yeah, Steve's over there looking at his phone, but he ended up carrying tables about. That's why I saw you last year.
Yeah.
Steve's a table manager. Yeah.
Great. Can't wait, guys. Thanks for that.
Thank you.
Well, look at that. Even more bang for your buck, and more Thought Bubble news. And we'll keep that coming as the year goes on.
Might be some interesting stuff coming your way as well.
Yeah.
I've got to say, watch this space.
Yeah. Hopefully, fingers crossed, we're not, nothing's coming. We've put in our application. The Awesome Pod has put in an application. And if that all goes through and all goes well, around the Thought Bubble time, we might have a table that's filled with goodies.
We were looking at this earlier, weren't we? We've got a large number of books coming out between us, not through any kind of design, just by being involved in events or in books, new books coming out. So there's a few on the way which we'll be ready for then.
Yeah, it won't necessarily be one of those launching at Thought Bubble, because everyone else launches at Thought Bubble, but we just might have stuff on the day. But we'll see. We're not going to shout too much yet until.
Yeah, there's never a done deal till it's a done deal sometimes.
Yeah, exactly. So everyone that has applied to Thought Bubble, good luck. Hope to see you there. And anyone who hasn't applied, you have until, is it 16th of February, I think?
Yes, it is. He says that in the interview, actually. Yeah, it's the 16th.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is a week Sunday, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
It's a romantic time of year, so get on. And
the other thing is LCAF has closed for submissions now. We've been so East London Comic Art Festival, partially run by Nobrow. We've been inundated. I think
the people organising it just sit there, leaning back in their chair, watching their email numbers just flipping up like some kind of, you know, yeah. meter. Yeah. So I think that's any day now. They'll be having a look at them, see who they can fit in. So expect some notifications quite soon about who's going to be tabling that as well, which is going to be another storming year. We had a brilliant year last year, and I know there's quite a few of the listeners applying, so that should be good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, in terms of shout-outs, we haven't got loads, but there's a Kickstarter you really need to pledge to, isn't there, Tony?
Yeah, thanks to everyone who's pledged.
Yeah.
And also to the people who've given it. We've had really great response, people have given it. So we're on it got mentioned on 11 o'clock comics, thanks to Dap, Jason and Vince, and they also backed it. They're such good lads. Cliff gave it a lovely, and also did a special audio clip for us on Unencumbered this week.
What is this Kickstarter we're talking about, Tony?
Imagine, if you will, that the millennials of today suddenly become in charge of the earth, and nobody is trained. Everyone's trained in, you know, music video production or anime voiceover skills. Nothing that's any of any use, let's face it. And nobody knows how to work nuclear fission. So all the nuclear plants in the world go off, explode, and the earth is a wasteland. Left is a very old barbarian called Hercules. And he gets taken and put in the army, and he has to do something. Is foul and violent and transgressive and also quite funny. So it's up on Kickstarter.
It's, the artwork's by Adam Falp, and it is, of course, written by Tony Esmond.
I mean, yeah. So me and the Falpster occasionally meet up together and just like laugh about what's the worst thing we can put in a comic. That's kind of how it goes. And I wrote the script, just finished the script today for issue 2. They finally polished it off. I want to tell you what happens to something because it just made me chuckle as I was writing it. But the Falpster is literally in for it. I send him stuff and he goes, "You're crazy, but this is great." And then 10 minutes later, he sends me a sketch. So, yeah, and it's got a great response. We're almost there. We're about 6% away from the total now.
Nice.
Exciting.
Yes. So push them over the edge, people. Push them over the edge.
Thank you.
Over the past few years, Tony's been pushing me over the edge. So it's only... I'm only kidding. And no, it looks great, though.
What about your little project, babes? How close are we getting? See, I know you put some stuff out this week, didn't you? It looked amazing.
The webcomic?
Yeah, yeah.
I may have been working on pages today and really getting into the swing of it. So, it'll be coming soon, people. I did get a few questions about it, so thank you to everyone that asked about Indigo Park. I've started work on the website. I just want to get everything right. And while everything's being worked on, I want to get a good start on the pages. So, bear with me, but I'm working on a lot of pages so that there's going to be no gap. You know, like in webcomics, you've got to work it out of yourself. I'm not gonna.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna chance my arm, but
Nice little backlog.
It's fun, and hopefully, I'm doing some new things art wise. So yeah, and thank you so much to everyone that was very nice about the little bits that I shared online. So
it looks great, mate. The stuff you sent me looks amazing.
Yeah,
I've not seen you draw that sort of thing before, and I'm a fan of that sort of thing, and you know.
Yeah,
and that thing you drew was amazing. It's really beautiful. Yeah, I'm really impressed with it, mate. Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's going to be bright, colourful, and a little bit weird. But I'm not going to say too much.
Like
yes, true, and horrifying as well.
Yes.
What's that, Tony?
Yeah, it's still there.
Yeah. So I did throw a little bit of a synopsis at people when they were asking, because it's all a bit of a mystery at the moment, which is part and parcel of the story. I mean, I know Tony and Dan have seen like script bits, so they know where it's going.
Yeah.
But I kind of want to keep people in the dark because it's not it won't necessarily go in directions that people expect. But you'll have to see. Stay tuned to the show to find out more. You know, the only thing is, when you're doing these things, searching for URLs and stuff is interesting. So it's not it's not going to be a straight indigopark.com because that's a parking company apparently. but this
my new webcomic, Greg's a Butcher's.
Yeah, coming soon. But you know, it's those little things that are quite funny. Well, you know, when you look into it, you think, oh, right, okay. Much like, I mean, Dan's had this experience with Vanguard. You know, how many Vanguards? Never mind it with other business names, but people use that in comics, don't they? a lot. But for us, there's only one, and that's VanguardComic.com. So, which is absolutely smashing it at the moment.
He's a machine.
So, anyway, after all that goodness,
I've got a couple of other shouts just to give a shout out to Tom Stewart, our pal. Comic Smell, always worth listening. He's also, I haven't quite got to his bit yet on the new Lakes pod this week, but I'm looking forward to hearing him. He sent me a little comics, a little package of comics this week. It's very kind of him.
Yeah, I know Dan got one, and I've got one too. I haven't picked mine up.
This is a post office, isn't it, still?
Yeah. I'm going to pick that up tomorrow. But Tom is one of the most generous people in comics.
Yeah, he's a good lad. Top bloke. And another little shout, I'm out to see Pat Mills in a couple of days, and he has challenged me to a table tennis competition. So here, the live action of me versus Pat Mills in a table tennis tournament. I haven't played table tennis since I was about 10, so I don't know how well I'm going to do.
Amazing.
It sounds like he's quite an expert. He has his own bat.
Oh, my word.
Yeah,
maybe he's hustled you.
Maybe.
But speaking of Tom, though, of course Tom Curry hung out with us. True Believers. He also interviewed me and Dan for something.
Oh, for this web. I've listened to this podcast he's on. Yeah. He was on there talking about Deadly Class, wasn't he?
Oh, good.
Previously,
I haven't checked out yet. But, you know, hopefully the audio comes out and is of some use. But it's always amazing hanging out with Tom. And check out his comic, Skellybob.
Skellybob.
Yeah. There you go, £10. That's an extra £10 for us. like an angel gets his wings, we get money every time you mention Tom's. anyway, so we just got a couple of quick recommendations because we've been working so hard and run ourselves into the ground, whether it be travel or lack of vitamin C or whatever. We both just need to put our feet up and chill out and read some comics. But we've got a couple of quick recommendations. Do you want to go first with yours, Tony?
Yeah, this is actually the last comic I read in January, so I kept a record of every comic I read in January.
Yeah, that took the piss.
I'm going to publish a little thing on it because it's in the reading.
If you publish that list, it'd be like the flipping yellow pages. Never mind a bloody. Yeah.
It's just going to be like a reading habits, how my reading habits have changed, really.
Yeah.
Because there's some interesting points about where I'm going for them, what I'm reading, why I'm reading it, that sort of thing. I promise you, it won't be dry. It won't be dry at all. There you go. I like other things.
Oh, my God.
So, I read a comic off Comic House, Kelly Crimson, aka Kelly Crimson Psychic Punk. It's out of Gloombird Comics by Lemmy Eaton. Now, this is his only... I think Lemmy is a man. I think this is his only comic on there currently. It's a short and violent revenge story, basically. If you go to Kelly Crimson Comics on Instagram, you can find it. There's a touch of the 90s street art, maybe. There's a little bit of about the art. There's a little bit of Jamie Hewlett. Maybe a little bit of Shaky Kane in there.
Oh, nice.
A little bit of Deadline Magazine. It's that sort of feel to it. The story is kind of Tank Girl meets Punisher by way of I Spit on Your Grave, maybe, with a little touch of a Campbell carrot, for anyone who knows what that is. So the cover, I'm going to say, wouldn't look out of place at an LCAF event. It's got that sort of pop art aesthetic to it.
Yeah.
And it features Kelly, who's the titular character and is in nearly every panel of it. She's surrounded by a sort of combination of dark, lightning and rain, and that's surrounded by sort of pop art flowers. She looks a bit like a punky, sort of tank girly, back of the head shaved with the fringe on the front kind of character. She's got a polo neck top on, crop top on that's got a rainbow on it and a flowery dress, and she's also got a blue and yellow gun belt with cartridges in it that are yellow. It's quite cool. It's a nice little design. It's an interesting design. The title above her is, you know, when you get a ransom note, it's about bits cut, let each letter's cut out of the newspaper.
Yeah.
It's like that. So the title is done in that sort of style and looks good. Kelly's smoking a joint and has strange sort of snake eyes, as if there's a sort of lizardy quality to her, maybe a bit of V, remember the TV series V, a little bit of those sort of eyes. And she's got psychic and telekinetic powers. She gets access to those powers when she is smoking, I believe the scientists refer to it as herbal cannabis. With these abilities, she sets out on her own brutal vigilantism to the streets, revenging women who have been assaulted or raped or done wrong. It's a kind of, I think, where it's going. It certainly is in this issue. I'm drawn to that sort of thing. I quite like the revenge story.
the one where it just goes off the rails, you know.
Yeah.
Lemmy uses quite a sort of limited palette on a lot of the pages. There's a lot of pink, a lot of blue, like bright blue. It's quite day glow. Reminds me of a 90s acid house poster, maybe something like that. A little bit of the Warhol on there. I have to say the first four or five pages are just her. You just see Kelly. There's she's a strong looking character, and he uses her. I'm gonna say he uses her a little too much. There's a little too much just on her. There's some of the pages are a slightly limited view, but it is a character study, so that seems to be where he wants to go with that. And I think, you know, he should be allowed to sort of add to that. This is a series, so more will be coming. The lettering could do with a little bit of polish. There's a spelling mistake on, I think, page three. And it's a little bit too bold, a little bit too suddenly white with a thick black line around it in the middle of a panel. But it's readable. You can read it. You understand what she's saying. It's done. Her speech comes across with a certain fuck you character to her. And I actually really like the character. I think it's a really nice little invention. And at the end of it, you just go, fuck me. There's a lot of blood there as she stabs the fuck out of someone. It's got like a super violent ending. I won't spoil the reason why or what happens. But the thing that did chuckle, so you get all this. You get this sort of big lead up to it. And a sort of bloody vigilantism, retribution, stabbing. And then it says, next issue, Kelly goes to the beach, which I kind of liked. I thought that works well. And then sort of there's a sort of pop-up poster of the second issue. It's on Comic House. It's one of the newer releases on there. Have a look. It's interesting. It's an interesting thing to look at. I'll be following it again. I'll certainly read the next issue. It's a nice, easy read. And it's something it's a bit different, you know,
yeah.
Which I kind of look for always.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so that's my one. What's your one, babes?
My one is issue four of a four-issue series from Dark Horse. I mentioned it once before. Finished it off this week. Story by David Dasmalkian. Art by Lucas Kettner. Colours by Lauren Aff. And letters by Frank Chekovic. I hope I got that right. It is Count Crowley.
I've got this on my iPad to read.
Reluctant Midnight Monster Hunter.
I've not read this yet. The cover looks great, these.
Oh, the series is just fantastic. It's just an absolute, you know, one that may go under some people's radar. I know when we shouted it out first time, of course, Sarah Harris pointed out and said it's one of her favourite titles. It's just great, you know, especially if you're a fan of old monster movies. You know, it's a story written by people that love those old... You had it more in America, really, you know, late night horror movie hosts.
Yeah, like an Elvira type character.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a touch of this sort of retro trading card about the cover for me.
Yeah, and all of the covers have been like that. I said last time we mentioned it, Lucas Kettner is a personal favourite artist of mine. He's the next Bernie Wrightson. You know, he's clearly influenced by Bernie Wrightson.
Oh, is he? Is that detail? No, okay.
It's stepping into that sort of realm, and you'll see it as soon as you look at the pages and stuff. And he did one of my fave image series, Witch Doctor, from a few years ago, and the stuff he did
that
was insanely detailed.
Oh, you're right. If he is there, I can remember that now. You're right about the rights and influence, definitely.
Yeah.
I think we choose the cover as both you and I chose the cover as one of our favourites.
Yes, it was one of the covers. Yeah,
yeah.
And I finally, of course, the story is it's great. You have like these funny sort of. I won't say Hammer Horror, but it's more the Universal Horror and that sort of like fun sort of monsters and stuff. But there's something very personal going on about it. There's layers to this character who at first, when the story starts, it's someone that's just a pissed off drunk who wants to be, she starts off being a newswoman, but ends up having to step into the role of a midnight monster movie host. And she's not happy about it until she comes across real monsters. But what they've done is they've also layered in some like real life. You know, it's not making light of like certainly people that have drinking problems and stuff.
Okay.
So that comes to the fore a bit as well, and it's quite interesting. So this is issue four, and it sheds more light on the main character, who is hilarious as well as just obviously having her issues and like beating up monsters and stuff. It's just well worth it. The dialogue is rollicking, just bounds along at a nice pace. You've got a nice supporting cast. And it's just beautiful throughout. There's a nice build up, and it's like a, I don't know, I want to see more of it. It's a perfect start to a character that I hope I see more of, because I think it's
okay, cool.
Yeah, it's a quirky, funny thing that I would like to see more of. And it sort of ends on a sort of kind of a cliffhanger. It says the end, dot, dot, dot. I hope to see more of it. Count Crowley is...
I hope so. Yeah, so many titles you don't see again now, especially out of Dark Horse at the moment. Yeah. Once and Future Queen, I wanted a sequel to that. And you know, we never got that, did we?
Yeah.
Okay.
I got it on Comixology. If you see it at a comic book store, pick it up from the shelf. If you see it on Comixology, pick it up. I don't know what the lead-in time is between the last issue and when a collection comes out for Dark Horse.
You know, no, I don't know what they're like, actually. No. Yeah. They're not super expensive. They're not as bad as Marvel at the moment. So yeah, they're quite reasonable.
Yeah.
And they have quite a lot of sales, actually. Quite a lot of Comixology sales.
Yeah. So, yeah, keep your eye out for this one. You won't miss it because the covers have all been beautiful. And the story is great. It's sort of
The covers remind me a bit of a Garbage Pail Kids in a
yes,
way.
Yes, yeah. You know, that bright coloured sort of painterly.
You expect
effect.
You open it up and there's a bit of chewing gum in there. Yeah. That sort of, yeah.
Oh, God. Do you remember that? The chewing gum you get with the cards, awful, trading cards. It?
I got somebody bought me some Dune trading cards, the present recently, and I opened them up and they had that gum still in them.
Oh, my God. Did you chew it?
No, I thought about it.
Are you looking at it now?
Yeah, might do it later.
Oh, blimey. This may
watch the tweets later if it goes a bit weird.
Yeah, you know he's chewed on a bit of Dune. Did you see that? I don't know if it was real. You know the new Dune movie?
Yeah, I don't know if that's real either. I mean, Dunk.
Dunk. I wouldn't be surprised if it is real. You'll see a line where the E is.
Yeah, I think might be right.
Yeah.
Can't wait, man. Can't wait.
Well, let's hope you're happy, Tony.
I mean, you get tired of me and Dan, because me and Dan go on about Dune all the time in our little group, don't we?
Yeah. And I know... No, you don't. No, you don't go on about it all the time. And you love it. I never have a problem with that. But, you know, I think I need to sort of download an audiobook of it and just put it on.
Yeah, if you've got 9 hours spare in your life, the first one's good.
Yeah. Well, nine hours is nothing compared to, you know, if someone had an audiobook of Stephen King, they'd probably still be listening to it now.
What's that one Alan Moore wrote that's a million words or something? Jerusalem. There's an audiobook. Yeah. Boring. Yeah.
And on that bombshell. anyway, thank you for listening this week, folks. Hope you enjoyed it. Obviously something a little bit different. We'll be back cooking with bass. Yeah, we're cooking with bass. We're basically turning into a fish cookery
show. About bass.
Rick Stein's going to be our guest next week. No.
Finding Nemo is our book of choice.
That'd be a bit insensitive on a cooking show. Wouldn't it?
the pan you go, you little bastard.
Little bit of batter, job done. Next week, Dory. No, no, we've got our guests, a few cool guests lined up for the next couple of months, probably. It's weird.
Next week is. You have to tell me off air. I can't remember who it is now.
Yeah, we've got some great guests lined up. So, and lots of new voices, which is brilliant. So stay tuned. Normal service, if anyone can call it that on this show, will resume next week. And if there, like we said before, if there's anything we need to know about, if you've got any comics launching or you want to, you know, shout the word out about.
Yeah, please do our shows or anything. Yeah, we're always keen for that.
Yeah, you can email us awesomecomicspod@gmail.com. Likewise, if we murdered any pronunciations of any names.
I remember who we've got next week now.
There you go. I'll confirm it off air just to make sure you're on the same page.
Yeah.
Yep. Follow us on Twitter.
Robert Kirk.
No, it's Captain Kirk. Follow us on Twitter at The Awesome Pod. And if you do the Book of Faces, go to facebook.com/awesomecomicspodcast. And if you do Facebook and want to join, if you actually want to do something decent on Facebook, rather than thinking, I don't care about you went spelunking at the weekend, then go...
Spelunking.
Yeah, it's the only thing I can think of. I don't know why. But join the group Awesome Comics Talk, where there's a fantastic bunch of people talking about the medium of comics, whether it be art, shows, projects, if you're making comics, and perhaps you've always wanted to know something, or maybe you've got a hurdle, or you're thinking, how do I fix this? Ask it on that group, because there will be several different opinions and answers, and you know, take your pick and try things out, because it's a great group. Yep. and keep the conversation going. We always post this, the episodes on that on in there as well. So if there's anything on this show you want to talk about, then get going on that. Thank you for listening to us, whether it was on the website, awesomecomics.podbean.com. If you listen to us on iTunes, subscribe and leave a review and just get the word out about small press comics, indie comics, etc., and just comics in general. And thank you for listening to us, whether it was on any of the networks like Spotify, Stitcher, Podnose, Podknife. What are the networks we on, Tony?
We're on the French podcast network, Pod Une Femme Heureuse. Thank you to Mr. Cumber for that one.
Right. Do I need to Google this?
See you later.
Oh, God. I better not Google. Cliff Cumber, a curse to every browser history that exists.
No. He's been sending me French phrases all day, and they've all been filth.
Well, you know, yeah. It's the dialogue for Pascal. Love you, Cliff. Anyway,
nobody got it.
Thank God you didn't give them a visual representation. thank you.
I may have admitted it to Arena in France.
You did.
Yep.
Did you get a laugh?
Yes.
Good. Well, she's still talking to you. That's
exactly right.
Yeah. Thank you for listening, folks. Where can people find us online, etc.? Tony.
Never on anything.blogspot.com, where my examination of on Glenn will be going up soon, I'm sure. Or SASEZOHYZ on Twitter.
All right, okay. And where can people buy your comics?
Oh, never on anything.bigcartel.com.
And your Kickstarter is again?
It is Atomic Hercules.
Yeah.
With Mr. Adam Faulp.
There you
Thank
go.
Thank you, dude.
That's all right. You're terrible at selling yourself.
So,
I
know. Yeah.
So like a pimp, I have to do it for him. Yeah, go to if you want to follow Dan's brilliant artwork and more, go to follow him on Twitter at Vanguard Comic, and you can read his comic at vanguardcomic.com. And if you want to find out some of the stuff that I ramble about or maybe doodle on a weekly basis, then follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Jester Diablo. Once again, folks, thank you for everything.
You're the reason. Yeah, that's a long week. We've had a long week, dude.
We've had a long week, but and we're still coming back for more. So, yeah, convention season has begun.
Yeah. Bring it.
But first, I'm going to have a bit of a sleep. So, I'll warm the bed up first, Tony. And like,
nice.
You know, yeah, I'll put the hot water bottle in, and then I'll give you a shout, and you can come up. And
get you to move over a bit, yeah.
Yeah, and we can spoon. Anyway, from Dan, Tony and myself, have a brilliant week. Read loads of comics. And what do they do, Tony? Say it in French.
No, I can't do it in a French accent.
Not in the accent. You don't have to try and do a poor French accent.
Give me a minute and I'll look it up. No, I can't. Stay awesome, fuckers.
Love you. Bye.
Love you. Bye.
Tony, we missed out. Like, go on, just show us your bilingual skills.
I don't know how you change it to another. What language does it go in?
It says from English.
Oh, English
to.
Okay, there we go. I'm finding it. Hang on.
Oh, just, all right.
Hang on.
So,
French. Ah, ready.
Hang on. As always, what should they do, Tony?
Reste génial.
Oh, that actually sounds. Reste génial.
Reste génial.
No, you've ruined it.